Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word DASH to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text DASH to 797979. Text DASH to 797979.
Welcome to the Friday Groove known as Freddie and Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman with Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80 presented by Progressive Insurance. Wait until you hear how ESPN's Jeff Van Gundy went at the NBA about the whole Anthony Davis scenario at the trading deadline. That comes your way in 5 minutes. But he is still part of the New Orleans Pelicans. He is playing his first game tonight. That game on ESPN right now as they take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Lakers tried everything to get him. And New Orleans said, nope, not going to have it. So now they're stuck with their team. That's still a pretty good basketball team when it comes to the Lakers. But Jonathan Hood, Lakers GM Rob Pelinka was asked about the Lakers' chances going forward if they make the playoffs. And he said, and I quote, "I would not want to play us in any seven-game matchup, that's for sure," end quote. I'm glad that tickled your funny bone.
Come on, Freddie. I swear. What happened to sports figures that knew how to be able to play the media without putting themselves in this spot and being so quotable that it's ridiculous? Really? Wouldn't you want to say that maybe a year from now if you get Anthony Davis and you have your roster the way you want to? So nobody wants to play Lance Stevens. Lance to make him dance. You don't want to play Alex Caruso or KCP, or you don't want to play, you know, Lonzo Ball in a big spot, Rajon Rondo. I mean, come on now. I mean, I don't think that you can be chesty now. Maybe in a year or two when you have the roster that you want, but it is amazing. Rob Pelinka, strident, telling everybody that you don't want to, yeah, let me see the 1-8 matchup. Stay at 8 and let Golden State be at 1 and see if anybody wants to play the Lakers then. I think it'll be fine.
This is all about the LeBron effect, because when you have him on your basketball team, the Lakers feel the same way about him that the Patriots feel about Tom Brady. With all that stuff going around the Patriots, they all said, number 12's playing, right? Yeah, okay, we're going to be fine. That's how they feel. The Los Angeles Lakers have not felt this way since Kobe Bryant and the Lakers were competing for championships. No matter what happened, we still got him? Okay, we're going to be fine. They look at LeBron James, and Rob Pelinka is thinking he's going to be the Pied Piper. When we get into the playoffs, he's going to do what he has always done when he did that with the Cleveland Cavaliers twice and the Miami Heat. Here's the deal, though. The West is loaded with killers. It doesn't matter if it's Golden State. Houston, they won't be easy. Oklahoma City, they won't be easy. Denver Nuggets can't play defense. Good luck trying to outscore them if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. It's going to be a lot harder, but when you have LeBron James on your team, like you said, in the words of Kevin Hart, say it with your chest. Rob Pelinka said it with his chest because of the LeBron effect being on his basketball team, and that's how they feel having a guy like that that they believe in, or at least they're hoping he can continue to do what he always did in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I'm sure that, as Martin Lawrence would say, they're going to try to, you know, go with this and ride this till the wheels fall off when it comes to LeBron James. And one of his wheels did fall off, actually, and he's back in the mix, but because there was an injury there. But it just, you know, you have to understand what you have as when you're looking at LeBron James. Because LeBron James, even just a couple of years ago, isn't the same LeBron James, because we all get older, and you're not going to have this guy play every single game in the regular season and hold up a franchise like he did with the Cavs for a few years here. So the idea that LeBron James is so dangerous that he alone can be able to knock down five All-Stars with the Golden State Warriors if that's a 1-8 matchup is just ridiculous. You can say that. That's fine. But you have to understand and be real with not only Lakers fans, but the NBA audience in general, and saying that we aren't there yet. Magic Johnson says a 2-year process. It's not about this year. It's about 2 years. And in the second year, if you don't get that big fish on the hook in Anthony Davis or a few others to help this franchise, everybody's going to want to play the Lakers. Everybody's going to want to play them.
Yeah, the LeBron effect here with Jonathan Hood and Ian Fitzsimmons and Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, part of Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Best phones, best networks, no contracts. When you look at the other side, when you have the New Orleans Pelicans, and a lot of people are saying, why would they not take that deal? The Pelicans became the first team, when you think about it, to actually stand up to somebody having LeBron James on their team off the court. How many times did he get his way? Or how many times did people placate him in Miami and then in Cleveland to allow him to get his way? This was somebody that he basically tampered. Let's call it as it is. He called it out last year when he said, Anthony Davis, that would be awesome if we could get him. That's complete tampering, because we know if somebody had said that the other way, if Anthony Davis said, man, if we could get LeBron James in New Orleans, man, that would be awesome. They would hit the New Orleans Pelicans with a fine so fast they would not be able to get their checkbook out quick enough to pay that kind of fine, because they want him to be comfortable and they want the Lakers to matter again. We got both of those entities together, LeBron James and also Los Angeles Lakers. They're going to allow certain things to go by the wayside, or certain things that they want to happen. And Dell Demp said, I'm not doing it. You can't make me trade this guy just because he asked for a trade and LeBron James wants him. You may get him, but you're going to get him on my terms, not the other way around.
Absolutely. And by the way, to that point, as much as I like Commissioner Adam Silver, I prefer him as a commissioner for the NBA. You want to make sure you're setting parameters, Freddie. Okay. You got to make sure that you're doing this. What I mean by that is, when we talk about tampering should be across the board equal for everybody,
right,
whether you're
exactly.
a general manager, whether you're a player. When you make these statements, and listen, it's the NBA, everything's quotable. You go to Instagram, you go to Twitter, everyone's got a quote, everyone retweets it, and it's all fun. But when it comes to tampering, if you really want to make sure that that thing has teeth, you make sure across the board in a uniform way that everyone gets fined or everyone gets a suspension or whatever it is when you bring up tampering. And LeBron James was just sitting there on a stool saying, I'd like to have this player, this player, this player, this player, and there was no fine. Let a guy on the second team for any ball club say, I want to have this player on this team, that guy will be fined $100,000. So it's got to be equal across the board here, and it doesn't make you the bad guy. It makes you the commissioner of a league and understanding that some things that you put in place actually do matter.
But Rob Pelinka's like, I'm saying on my chest, we got LeBron James. Nobody wants to face us in a 7-game series.
Oh, man.
I wonder how much laughter in the Golden State Warriors locker room had to be heard when they heard that statement from Rob Pelinka about the Lakers in a 7-game series. And that's part of Straight Talk Wireless, nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. We are Freddie and Fitzsimmons. He's Jonathan Hood and Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio. Then we have Jeff Van Gundy, who's part of the call tonight with Ryan Rucco in New Orleans as the Pelicans are hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. First game back for Anthony Davis from injury and also after the trading deadline. Jeff Van Gundy did not waste any words about what he believes is a wrong that is happening in the NBA with all this.
I think their owner, Gail Benson, has missed out on an opportunity to take a stand for her team and for all small market teams in the NBA. Anthony Davis, one of the five best players in the NBA, publicly demanded a trade, and now the NBA is trying to bully her and threaten her with unduly harsh fines. And if I was her, I would say, I'll pay the fine, but at the end of the day, I'm going to do what's best for my franchise. I'm not going to put him out there at risk for injury and reduce my lottery chances or my trade opportunities. I think the league is wrong. I think they should allow New Orleans to do exactly what is best for them, because everybody else is doing what's best for themselves. Anthony Davis and the league. Let the Pelicans do what's best for them.
That's some strong commentary there, and he was not pulling any punches. And I can understand, Freddie, where he's coming from with that. There's always been a dividing line between, especially in the NBA, about small market teams and the big market teams. And I think it's come a little bit better now in 2019, where a free agent can decide to go wherever he wants to, small or big market, because this is the way the league is now versus the David Stern era. But I tell you what, I believe that Jeff is right. Like, if you are the Benson family, and if you are Dell Demps, you're looking at this situation and you're saying to yourself, well, okay, so you can't make me play a player. You can't make me do that. I will do what's best for my organization. I don't want this guy to get hurt, and he doesn't want to play. That's the other thing, too. He doesn't want to play for us. So why should I have him on the roster? Why should I have him active? I think that Jeff is saying the right thing here, because just like we talked earlier about LeBron James and the side eye that he's getting from his team, what do you think is happening in that Pelicans locker room? What do you think Alvin Gentry has to go through when a player says, I don't want to be here, but yet you're forced to play him? There's a divide there, and I think that's really bad.
It's very hard to try to find the simple and awkward, because it's an awkward situation that is going on here, mm-hmm. and it's going to continue to be awkward as long as he's out there playing basketball. Here's the deal. There are rules in place where you can't get away with that, and everybody knows that, even Jeff Van Gundy. I'm not going to say that he's completely wrong in what he had to say, but Jeff Van Gundy knows the rules of the NBA. They are not going to allow you to do these kind of things. For example, the Lakers would not be able to pull this with LeBron James if he wanted to ask for a trade, because they will fine you for not playing healthy players. And Anthony Davis is healthy. Now, if Anthony Davis does not want to play, they're not going to fine the Pelicans. But Anthony Davis wanted to play. He said, you know, I don't want to sit on the bench. He knows the risk factor. He understands the risk factor. And he still wanted to go out there and play basketball. Nobody went to Anthony Davis and said, you better play or else. He decided to make that decision, Jonathan, to do that the same way he made sure it was put out there that he wants out of this organization and he wants to be traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. So believe me, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying Jeff Van Gundy is wrong. But the rules state if a player is healthy, you better go out there and play him. That's not just a Pelicans being wrong situation. That's just the way that it is. If you don't like it, then find a way to have a different part than your collective bargaining agreement between the players and the rest of the NBA and the owners.
Are you sure that that's the way for everybody? Like,
in terms of
LeBron, I was just saying, like, if this is LeBron James in this same situation, are you sure that he would be able to get his way and the Lakers would get their way?
Oh, if he was not injured,
yeah,
and he didn't want to play, they would. Even the NBA won't allow that. Seriously. Not LeBron wouldn't do it anyway, but let's say for argument's sake that if he tried to pull that, the NBA wouldn't let him get away with that. They'd be like, dude, if you're healthy, get your behind out there and play. We don't care who the hell you are.
I'm just hoping that everything is evil, is equal, rather, when it comes to that.
You said it right the first time, evil.
Yeah. everything is together in that regard. That's what I'm hoping.
That's why I didn't have a problem with Dell Demps saying, you know what? You can offer me the moon outside LeBron James. I'm not going to give you what you want mm-hmm. on your own terms. That was the only way he was going to try to find equal ground in this situation. And believe me, I understand that you know that, but for damn sure, Jeff Van Gundy knows that, despite the rant that was spot on, but that does not mean it was exactly in the right place right. when it comes to this and the Lakers and Anthony Davis, as well as the Pelicans. He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance. The power to save is in your hands. Snapshot from Progressive Rate Rewards your safe driving with discounts. Find out more at Progressive.com. Here it is, February 8th, and Major League Baseball has a Bryce Harper, Manny Machado problem. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick here to tell you about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. I've teamed up with Full Sail University to create a sportscasting bachelor's degree. You work both on and behind the cameras, and you build skills for the future of sports so you can connect with audiences no matter where they are or how they're tuning in. Learn more about Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting by going to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick School.
Here's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, the Friday Groove on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And to my guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to Shell Pinto Performance Line. So let me get this straight. You got to, see what I did there?
You're the best.
See what I did there? You could never have a major sport. I'm glad that made you feel good, Jonathan.
You are just the best. You are just the best.
We're just hoping the little things just make you happy, especially here on Fridays on ESPN Radio.
I'm just used to listening to you in the car, but then to be able to be on the show doing that, it's just restaurant quality for me.
We'll put it this way. Blessed that you have a chance to be here hanging out with us, as a matter of fact. You know, hit us on Twitter, the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. Jonathan's a great follow on Twitter at TweetJHood. You can follow me as well at Coleman ESPN. You can never have two of the best free agents in a free agent year being unsigned this close to a season. This would never happen in the NFL. This would never happen in the NHL. This will, of course, never happen in the NBA. But Major League Baseball has two guys in the prime of their careers, Jonathan, and Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And here we are on February 8th, and not one team has even come close to signing either one of these guys.
I cannot prove it, but it would not surprise me if there's some sort of collusion happening with the owners in this spot. It is, we're doing this show on February 8th. Clearly, you could tell that a lot of the owners are looking at their books and looking at the last CBA and looking at their payroll ceiling and their luxury taxes and wondering how these players can fit. And apparently, for a lot of these teams, those two players, Machado and Harper, do not fit. Now, again, I can't say it's collusion, but it just seems as though that when all these owners cannot come up to with some kind of agreement for one of these players, they want to be able to tamp down and look at a salary that is conducive to their payroll, something that's comfortable for them. And I'm surprised, Freddie. I really am. We're so close to spring training, and then neither one of these guys can help you. I think there's something going on here.
You said it best in terms of salary cap. For the first time, Major League Baseball owners in bigger markets are capping themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not a soft cap. It's a complete hard cap because they looked at Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, and they basically put it out there. One of these two guys will be either a $300 million player, and the other guy could potentially be a $400 million player. And plenty of Major League Baseball owners are like, do we really want to do that again? Especially when a guy like Mike Trout, at a certain point, is going to get that kind of money. Or an Aaron Judge is going to get that kind of money. And they're thinking, if we open the doors for these two, as great as they've been, no matter how polarizing they are, there's no denying the talent of Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. The owners, it is collusion. It's not likely. It's not probably. It is collusion in a different way because now they have business sense, not to overpay. But instead of one or two teams doing it in major markets, Jonathan, everybody's doing it. And Manny Machado and Bryce Harper's bookkeepers are paying the price mm-hmm. when it comes to that.
Now, having said that, I don't think that, and you're right, we will see a $400, $500, $600 million ball player sometimes in our lifetime. I don't know when, but I think you and I will be able to see that. We'll be talking about it on the air. I just think that when you have a player with six or more years and the type of salary that ESPN's Alex Rodriguez had, or he's looking at you, Albert Pujols, with a deal that he had, you know that you won't be able to get anything back from that. If there's a championship, that's great, but the value and the production is going to go down every single year if you're going to sign someone for this huge amount of money and, of course, the years. That's what I look at more so than anything else. Freddie, the years.
Yeah.
After five, maybe six years, you're not going to get the same value as you thought you could. And on top of that, it's baseball. One player cannot make an entire difference for an entire baseball team, especially if he doesn't pitch.
And especially if he hits enough but not well enough where he can make that kind of difference. I wonder how much that's factoring in with Machado and Harper in those kind of key situations. Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons with Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, had this to say at a press conference about Harper and Machado and why they're still free agents.
Look, we want players signed, particularly star players. I wish they were signed and ready to go. We got another week before they have to report. I'm really hopeful that it's going to get resolved during that period of time. I probably have, to tell you the truth, Ken, you probably know more about where it is than I do in terms of the individual clubs. But obviously, we want our star players signed and ready to go when we start playing.
Right now, every owner in Major League Baseball is laughing out loud at what mm-hmm. they just heard Rob Manfred said a week before, thinking, what makes you think that we're going to get weak a week before guys are ready to report when it comes to Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, and they know that their price has not gone down with their agents?
If I had my druthers, I think I'd take Machado. And by the way, as a Chicago White Sox fan, he's been rumored to be with the White Sox for a while here, but again, it's about the price tag, and that's been an issue for the White Sox and other teams.
If they think the owners are going to blink, the owner's eyes are wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Harper and Machado and their people better realize that sooner than later. Going back to the NBA, do you still think Pelicans GM Del Demps is dumb, especially when they are playing Anthony Davis? That's next on ESPN Radio.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets? Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons with me, Freddie Coleman, on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they hit thanks to Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Phone number is always there for you about the Anthony Davis situation at 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Apparently, Jonathan loves the Friday groove. We play dance music all night long to get you ready for the weekend. Whatever dance was going on between the Pelicans and the Lakers, well, they were never able to get together on the dance floor when it comes to Anthony Davis, and he's still a New Orleans Pelican. He is playing in his first game tonight. It was really weird. A mixture of boos and cheers when he scored his first basket, and now they're clearly cheering him anytime he has made a play for the Pelicans in this game. Dell Demps, Jonathan, took a lot of heat. People were calling him names and had his mom wanting to get at people, saying, don't be talking about my baby that way. You don't know my son like I know my son. Everybody was talking about his intelligence about not making that move. As it turns out, people are questioning his intelligence now by playing Anthony Davis according to the rules. If you're Dell Demps, I'm going to do exactly what he's doing right now. If Anthony Davis wants to play, put him out there. If there's a risk of injury, there's always a risk of injury anyway. Ask John Wall. He wasn't even playing basketball. When he ruptured his Achilles, he's going to be out for 12 months. But anybody to criticize Dell Demps, he is good with it. But as far as I'm concerned, he did the right thing before the trading deadline, and he's doing the right thing now, according to the rules, by putting Anthony Davis on the floor.
So you know what this means, Freddie, is that David Stern was wrong. And there's a lot of things I disagree with David Stern when he was the commissioner of the NBA, but he was wrong. I don't even know why he just went off on the Pelicans and how poorly run they are and going off on Dell Demps. I think that's wrong. You know, there's such thing as class. You're no longer the commissioner of the NBA. Just step aside in retirement and just kind of watch the league like we all are. But no, he just wanted to just give a special diss to Dell Demps. Well, guess what? Dell Demps is the smartest man in the room. As a matter of fact, I almost agree with Stu Gotts on the Dan Le Batard show when they asked, you know, who won the trade deadline, and Stu Gotts said the Pelicans because they're able to keep Anthony Davis. He said that tongue-in-cheek, but I understand what he means because Dell Demps exposed the Lakers. Because Dell Demps, through all the reporting from Adrian Wojnarowski and everyone else that was covering the NBA on deadline, we continue to see on our Twitter machine all of these names from the Lakers. All these guys were available, and yet Anthony Davis was on the other side, and Anthony Davis never traded. Because here's the thing. The key card was held by Dell Demps and the New Orleans Pelicans. They could have made the deal, no, but they were looking for the best deal. The Lakers continued to revise the deal and revise the deal, and they kept on to Anthony Davis, even though he says he wants out. So for Dell Demps, he did what was best for his organization and did not give in to the demands of Anthony Davis.
One of the things about this, and especially when Anthony Davis and everybody understood the rules, including Dell Demps. And he's thinking, you know what? I'm in a pretty good position here. I'm not going to go against the rules because why would you have to kick out money by being stubborn? And Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, talked about that on The Jump about Anthony Davis is playing because Dell Demps is not going to run afoul of the rules, even though the rules are not going to be in his favor.
The league office did get involved and they informed the Pelicans that if they did sit a healthy Anthony Davis, they would be subject to potential game by game fines for the rest of the season.
How much are we talking?
$100,000 a game. So I don't know, there's 20 some games left. It'll be 2 point something million potentially. Ultimately, I think the Pelicans came to a decision that they wanted to do the right thing, not just under the league rules, but they wanted to do what they have described as the ethical thing, which is to play Anthony Davis. Now, he's not going to play in every game. He's going to play tonight. It's a home game. We'll see what the reaction is. Then tomorrow they're in Memphis. The intention is to sit him. He's not going to play in back-to-backs. His minutes play may get reduced. They want to reduce the chance of injury. But the Pelicans have decided here that they could have fought it, and they might have lost in arbitration. But instead of fighting it, they want to do the ethical thing. And so Anthony Davis is going to be on ESPN tonight and there for Pelicans fans for a lot of games the rest of the season.
And if you're the Pelicans, you're like, look, if we had our way, we would sit him and maximize his value. But if the rules say play him, we're going to play him on our own terms. He'll play tonight. He won't play tomorrow. He'll play a couple of games here, then we'll rest him there. Whatever risk factor is going to be there, the Pelicans minimize their risk by not trading him, and they're really going to maximize their risk in terms of making sure he's going to be more than readily available when they decide to trade him once the regular season is over. It is well played by Dell Demps.
It is. I do, though, Freddie, do feel bad for the other Pelicans players in that locker room. And in some ways, Mrs. Benson and whoever's who else is running the Pelicans, because like the guy doesn't want to be here. You didn't make the trade that you wanted to make. And boy, it's too bad, because you'd like to just say, well, let's have him rest. And by the way, almost every other game, seemingly, when I see Anthony Davis, he's writhing in pain on the floor. And I'm not looking for him to be injured, because I appreciate his game, but it just seems like he's always down there like an injured giraffe on the wildlife channel. He's always just kicking his legs out and his arms moving around. It's like, oh God, Davis is down again. But I'm hoping, but I understand from their standpoint, like, man, I would love to be able to just sit him because he doesn't want to be here, but that's not the rule. So I get that. And the Players Association would allow it anyway.
That's right.
That's pretty clear.
It's been collectively bargained, according to the Players Association and the NBA owners, to make sure that players who are not injured have to have their behinds out there playing for their basketball team. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons with me, Freddie Coleman, on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Here's something else to what you said in terms of rules are rules, understand. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's Anthony Davis, and we've known about his injury history, if this was somebody else, there would not be as much of this saying, oh, you shouldn't play that guy, you're maximizing his risk. If Anthony Davis was one of those guys that played routinely 78 to 80 games a year, this is not a conversation, because we've seen the best of him and we've seen the worst of him when he's been injured and suffered these injuries. If he was less brittle, nobody is going at Dell Demps with pitchforks and fire saying you're doing the wrong thing by playing this guy. Because of his injury history, that's why so many people are hot and bothered about the Pelicans being forced to play him, according to the NBA rules.
I also feel bad for that market too, Freddie. We were talking about this before the game, and it was just a question mark on why the NBA went back into the New Orleans market anyway. Was that Pistol Pete there with his yo-yo and his basketball, and nobody was there to see him play?
Couldn't draw flies.
Yeah, so same thing here. Then I think that after Katrina was an issue to try to get butts and seats in there, they were able to get naming rights for the stadium they're in, but I just think they have a hard time, because I talk to Joel Myers all the time, veteran voice of the Pelicans. It's hard to be able to get butts and seats in that place. And so
– why?
I mean,
they got a good product. They made the playoffs last year. They play a fun style. Great arena, by the way.
Saints Town.
There are plenty of football towns that will support the basketball team when they're winning. This team's a winning team. At least they were last year. This year, not so much.
Well, it's like it was in the past. But when they had a franchise there before, that wasn't a basketball town, and it didn't draw. And the same thing here with this Pelicans team. It took a while for the Pelicans fans to actually find Pelicans fans to be interested in that product. And so, I don't know what the future is for New Orleans without Davis. Now, I'm sure there's going to be players there, but who's going to have the star power to, number one, get drafted or be a free agent to come in that city? That's going to be a tough sell.
By the way, Anthony Davis just made a sensational block on Taj Gibson of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I understand why a lot of people are thinking, man, this is really going to stink when he wanted to go to the Lakers, because we have a guy here that seemed like he wanted to stay here. He even said as much not too long ago, saying, I plan on being in New Orleans. I don't know what happened between then and now, but it has clearly changed with Anthony Davis.
Fell down on the floor again.
Anyway, he's fallen at least 25 times in this first half tonight, but he's making play after play after play. Rob in Battle Creek, Michigan, at 888-729-3776. Rob, what you got with Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood?
Oh, yeah, what's happening, y'all?
What's up, man?
Just a little curious. You know, when you look at, like, the ESPN app, you know, you go through the box scores and all that stuff, and you go down the line, and it's, you know, you got people that say did not play, but they'll dress for the game, but it'll say coach's decision or something. So why can't they do something like that with Anthony Davis? If they don't, you know, they're not finding him because, you know, that guy ain't playing, but just because he's a bum, you know, but you know, Anthony Davis is good, you know, so you got to play him because you know he's good. Or, you know, I was just wondering, you know, the ins and outs of that, but, yeah, just curious. And, love the show, and I just hang up and listen, y'all.
Appreciate the kind words and the question, because I didn't think about that from the standpoint of if they made it a coach's decision, a DNP, there really isn't anything that the NBA and their rules can do about that.
True. You could dress him and not play him.
Right. Exactly. Oh. You could say that, you know, I don't think Anthony Davis is going to fit what we're doing tonight. Keep him out of the rotation. They can't get into your mind and tell you if you're lying or not, if you're Alvin Gentry, the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans.
So the next segment, we're going to make that same case for Sam Decker, who did not play tonight for the Wizards.
There we go.
It's his DNP CD for Sam Decker.
There you have it. There you have it, Chris Mitchell.
I got a feeling that rule applies to players that are on your ticket stub.
Oh, we know that it applies.
Yeah, that's got to be
it. Yeah, but at the same time, if you have Anthony Davis on the ticket stub and Alvin Gentry says, you know what, I'm not going to play Anthony tonight, coach's decision, they can't make him out to be a liar. They don't know. Bad matchup against Golden State tonight. Decide not to play Anthony Davis. Who's going to say that he's lying? Prove it.
That's a good point. That's actually a good point. I think you found the gray area there. And coming up next, we talk about why Jared Vanderbilt did not play for the Nuggets. He was a DNP CD. That's next.
Keep those tweets rolling in at the 1-800-Files.com Twitter feed at Coleman ESPN and at Tweet Jay Hood. Valentine's is almost here, less than 7 days away. 1-800-Files has the best bouquets and deals around, like 18 red roses for $29.99. Upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. To order, go to 1-800-Files.com/ESPN. It is the Friday Ask. Time to ask Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood anything. As a matter of fact, we'll put each other to that kind of test as well. Listen to the end of our careers happening right now on ESPN Radio. Hello, Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save an average of $668. We do it each and every Friday. We call it the Friday Ask. We're asked anything. It does not have to be sports related, which means that a lot of problems could develop as we try to be honest with the questions. The staff will do it amongst each other. You can try it as well at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Friday Ask, you can ask us anything. I'll start it off with Jonathan Hood. Jonathan, the best game you ever played in was where and why?
The best game I ever played in was it was doing Arena League football for Steve Mongo McMichael's team.
Really?
I played special teams. Okay. I was suited up. I was ready to go. I was there, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm actually going to be on special teams on this turf. And I went, I ran to special teams, and there was a guy coming after me, and I sidestepped. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get hit. I'm not going to get hit and playing for free as a celebrity on the Arena Football League team.
Nice.
And then Mongo looked over at me, and I said, hey, you need me for the fourth quarter? He goes, game's too close, kid. Not tonight. So Steve McMichael did not put me in.
That is a perfect Mongo impression. So that is absolutely perfect. All right, James Steele, part of the Friday Ask. What you got?
I love a good Steve Mongo McMichael.
So I'm glad you were laughing about that.
Was he the U.S. champion whenever he
in wrestling? Yeah, exactly.
Yes, he was.
At the time.
No, he was just the coach of the Chicago Arena League team at the time.
That's fantastic.
Freddie, who's your all-time favorite professional wrestler?
Ooh, Bruno Sammartino. In the WWF days way back when, because I could not believe a guy that looked like him that was that short was the world champion, beating the superstar Billy Graham's of the world and the Ivan Koloff's of the world and people like that. He was part of the first wrestling match my dad took me to at the Comac Arena in Strong Island, New York, where it was him, part of a tag team match when Larry Sabisco first came up. And on the other side was Lou Albano, one of the Valiant brothers. So that was the first match. He's still my favorite wrestler to this day.
Freddie, who is the second best character on Good Times?
Well, the best character is Thelma. There's no doubt about it. You know,
second,
what I mean?
Sir.
For obvious reasons. Thelma.
Still looking good.
Second best character was James Evans. I mean, they killed him off before he really got a chance to get his shine on. But anytime James Evans was a part of the scene and he's yelling at people or looking tough and threatening people, that was the second best character. It wasn't JJ, wasn't Florida, it wasn't Michael. The best character was Thelma, for obvious reasons. The second best character was her daddy, James Evans.
There you go.
Chris Mitchell?
All right, I'm going to give it to Freddie and Jonathan.
All right, Jonathan,
if you guys were WWE wrestlers, what would your names be?
Freddie and I with the Soul Patrol.
And I was going separate, but that's pretty good tag team. That's a pretty good tag team.
A lyric and note, the Soul Patrol. that would be our names.
For individual, if I had a wrestling name, it'd be the Butterscotch Brother. B-U-T-T-A Scotch. B-R-O-T-H-A. It wouldn't even be like, it'd be like Freddie, the Butterscotch Brother, Coleman. That would be my wrestling name if I had a chance to do that.
I think we'd have Mask on, a lyric and note, the Soul Patrol. I think that would work out well.
Damian Lewis, part of the Friday Ask here. Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons with Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, part of Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Damian Lewis asked this question. Martin Lawrence or Eddie Murphy? Jonathan.
Eddie Murphy, because that's the original. There's no question. And again, generationally, the people would look at Martin Lawrence, I understand. But for me, Eddie Murphy, I don't think that – I didn't even blink with that one.
Okay. Tell you what, Martin Lawrence, to me, does not get enough credit. Terrific as stand-up, and I still watch episodes of Martin all the time. Even they had the episode the other night where he's about to get married to Gina,
yes,
and he said the final chance to get his boogie on as a single man. He does the boogie dance, and the audience is just flat-out dying laughing when he does that. And by the way, he wrote the episode where he and Thomas Hearns got in a boxing match where he was raw dog has spoken. You know, yes. Underrated writer, underrated performer. I'm with you about Eddie Murphy, but Martin Lawrence, he got it in. Got it in pretty well, no doubt about that. Trey Farkas.
If you were going to the local food joint, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're going to order the Freddy. What is the Freddy? And also, ooh, Jonathan, what is the hoodie?
Boy, that's good. What is the Freddy? It could be a deli or anything.
It could be absolutely anything you want. What is the Freddy?
The Freddy is going to be a six inch sub, cut in half, of course, and you're going to have turkey, cheese, American cheese, of course. Lettuce, tomato, just a little bit of chipotle mayo, and a Dr. Pepper on the side. That's the Freddy.
The hoodie is chicken, of course.
Why, of course?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm part of the Soul Patrol. So definitely chicken with mild sauce. And people wonder what's in the mild sauce. Would be crinkle cut fries, because that's my favorite type of fries.
Nice.
And definitely wash it down with something carbonated, like grape or fruit punch, just to make sure that I keep it going here.
All right. I, the hoodie is better than the Freddy. As a matter of fact, I want your sandwich and your meal instead of mine.
Yeah.
James Steele, part of the Friday Ask here, and Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. What's up?
For both of you, who is your favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Oh, Jonathan, you can start first. I got my favorite.
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, huh?
Yep.
Really? Why? I want to hear this. I want to hear this one.
No, that's the first city that came up.
Okay. I'm about to say, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not saying you're not a hockey fan. I just wanted to know why.
Well, Hood's been working with Matlack a lot. I thought maybe some of the hockey stuff rubbed off on him.
By the way, Winnipeg's the top team in the Central. It's Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay Lightning. I think they're top to bottom the best team in the NHL. They can do it with the goaltending. They can do it with the scoring. They can play a filthy style. They can play an up-tempo style. That would be the one for me, Tampa Bay Lightning.
What is the worst concert you've attended, Freddie?
Ooh, the worst concert I ever attended. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this one. New Kids in the Block, 1990. And I had to be there because the radio station gave away free tickets, and I had to take people behind the scenes to meet them. Nice guys. Awful show.
Oh.
And here's why. I didn't hear anything. There was so much screaming, I didn't hear one word of it. They could have sounded great. They could have sounded terrible. But at the same time, worst concert. I still lost my ears way back then with that concert. A friend talks about being a new job and having it in a new league. That's next on ESPN Radio.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.